It's a Tuesday edition of the Maya Ag Life Daily News Report. Welcome and thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. Taylor Charleston will be in with a feature report, and I'll have a look at regional and national agricultural news, beginning with regional ag news, right after this word from our sponsor.
AgroPlante is the leading manufacturer in specialty products. AgroPlante formulates products that rise to the challenge of today's growing conditions. Saline and sodic soils reduce crop yield and cause significant crop losses. AgroPlante developed Cation EX5 Plus with growers in mind to manage soil salinity. With multiple years of research, Cation EX5 Plus has proven to be an excellent source of calcium and an effective soil salinity manager. Run it through drip irrigation without any issues. Simplify your application method with innovative and efficient formulations. Alleviate salinity stress with Cation EX5 Plus. AgroPlante, imagination, innovation, science in action.
Proposed legislation to prevent foreign governments from purchasing agricultural land in California has failed, according to its author, State Senator Melissa Hurtado. Hurtado's Senate Bill 224 has failed to get into the Senate Appropriations Committee. Senate Bill 224 would have prevented foreign governments, but not individuals, from purchasing agricultural land, putting California in control of its food supply chain, according to officials. The Senate bill would also require the California Department of Food and Agriculture to issue an annual report on foreign ownership of California's resources. According to Hurtado, foreign investors held an estimated interest in nearly 37.6 million acres of U.S. agricultural land as of December 31st, which represents an increase of over 2.4 million acres from December 2019 and represents 2.9% of all privately owned agricultural land in the U.S. California has over 40 million acres of privately owned agricultural land, with 2.7% of that land with international owners. Senator Melissa Hurtado represents the 16th Senate District in the California Legislature, including portions of Fresno, Tulare, Kings, and Kern counties. Dairy operators in Tulare and Kings counties say they are thankful to return to the normal rhythms of feeding, milking, and calving after historical flooding in March bust levees and forced dairies to rapidly evacuate their cows. Tulare County is California's leading milk and milk products producer. Kings County ranks fourth. Thousands of cattle were evacuated during the storms. While most have returned to dairy ranches, they are being closely watched by veterinarians for stress, which can open doors for disease. No cattle illness spikes have been noted to date. Things are even more challenging for lettuce growers in the Salinas Valley after this year's storms. Farmers in 2022 had suffered an estimated $150 million in crop losses as Impatiens neurotic spot virus, a destructive plant disease spread by thrips, moved from field to field. Then this year, vast flooding from atmospheric storms damaged multiple crops, with lettuce growers suffering an additional $54.4 million in losses, that according to recent figures released by the Monterey County Agricultural Commissioner. Still, lettuce growers say they are hoping for a successful crop this year. Following their annual strategic planning meeting in January, which featured industry leaders, government officials, and retail influencers, Salinas-based Measure to Improve LLC identified several initiatives for the company to achieve in 2023. Today, MTI has achieved B Corporation certification, completed an industry-wide pilot program, and is now rolling out a suite of services developed to help companies achieve their sustainability goals. The five core programs and services are a full suite of solutions addressing sustainability needs unique to growers, shippers, and processors in the fresh produce industry. The five programs developed and refined by industry partners are tried, tested, and have proven results. Number one of the five core programs and services is the Sustainability Certification Support Program, which guides clients through every step to achieving certification, from selecting the right standard to preparing documentation and completing an audit. Number two is Buyer Survey Support, which allows MTI clients to respond accurately, completely, and confidently to buyer sustainability surveys. Number three is the Sustainability Strategy Planning Service that helps clients identify, prioritize, and communicate their current sustainability efforts and target sustainability improvements that align with company values. Number four is Regenerative Agriculture Services, which is a customized program and approach to help clients identify and develop a customized regenerative agricultural program that identifies and describes existing practices, opportunities for increasing the adoption of regenerative practices, and metrics for measuring progress. And number 5 is zero waste and waste reduction support programs to help clients establish a zero waste program by providing a tool, resources, and training to confidently manage waste. Measure to Improve LLC is a sustainability consulting firm founded in 2014. Fruit World, headquartered in Reedley, has embraced a delayed start to stone fruit season and is now shipping the ripest early cherry varieties, Hazel and Royal Lynn, with Coral variety to follow soon. Spring pollination was staggered this year, which has led to mixed maturity in the orchard, according to Cindy Richard, director of sales. She says they are having to block cherries several times, selecting fruit at its peak color, size, and quality, which also increases production costs. In delivering organic cherries to the market, Fruit World is helping brighten the retail produce department this spring. Retail partners are hoping to drive sales by offering organic stone fruit to their shoppers this summer, leading to higher rings at the register, according to Richard. In addition to its organic cherries, a grower shipper is bringing organic apricots, nectarines, and peaches. As it celebrates its 6th anniversary, Fruit World is honoring its commitment to keep family farms thriving by offering organic in-season fruit to more retailers than ever before. With just today and tomorrow left in the month of May, the California Department of Food and Agriculture reminds everyone that it is Water Awareness Month, and the weather whiplash that Californians have experienced over the last few months underscores the importance of the state's water systems. While the recent wet weather has eased drought impacts in California, CDFA remains focused on continuing to provide water-saving programs and practices to help future-proof the state's water supply. Since 2014, CDFA's State Water Efficiency and Enhancement Program, or SWEEP program, has made grant awards to more than 1,100 projects covering more than 168,000 acres. SWEEP recently unveiled its block grant pilot program, which is developed to advance California's commitment to building more resilient water supplies amid the state's extreme wet and dry weather swings. It will also test whether block grantees can accelerate the disbursement of funds and better coordinate community needs for technical assistance. The SWEEP block grant program will make available up to $40 million for the block grants. Awarded organizations will work with farmers and ranchers to provide technical assistance and install on-farm projects in their area. Organizations wishing to apply for the block grant pilot program have until June 19th to do so. To date, SWEEP has awarded more than $123 million, with more than $70 million in matching funds. CDFA received $50 million in 2021. Of that, $10.8 million was awarded to socially disadvantaged farmers and ranchers, while $4.5 million was invested in projects that benefit priority populations. Additionally, CDFA's Water Efficiency Technical Assistance, or WETA program, is also currently accepting applications through June 6th with a total funding of up to $15 million. Entities can receive a maximum of $500,000. The funds will be used to provide on-farm technical assistance to evaluate irrigation efficiency, provide diagnostics and report to growers, coordinate pump-efficient testing for farmers, and provide water use efficiency training as well as nutrient management practices technology. For more information on this SWEEP and or the WETA program, visit the CDFA website.
Introducing My Ag Life Jobs, the pathway to career opportunities in California agriculture. Whether you're currently in pursuit of employment or searching for talent as an employer, our network serves as the resource to connections in the agricultural industry. Plant roots in your career and embark today by exploring jobs.myaglife.com. That's jobs.myaglife.com. Earlier this month, California Citrus Mutual Board and Government Relations Political Action Committee members conducted their annual state government relations trip to Sacramento, and the team met with various members of the governor's administration, the California State Senate and Assembly. CCM President Casey Creamer was happy the group got to meet in person with officials again after a few years of virtual and hybrid meetings. Discussions focused mainly on matters involving recent flood damage, preparing for drought in wet years, cost of production, pesticide regulations, and the process for approving new products, and the critical need for continued ACP and HLB education and funding.
Our pest and disease program, we're constantly pulling trees and treating trees down in residential areas in Southern California to protect the industry from Asian citrus psyllid and Wong Bing. So that's always a topic of discussion. But I'll tell you, big picture, A lot of people up in Sacramento, it's no fault of their own necessarily. It's just they come from more urban areas. They don't even really understand that citrus is grown in California. It's amazing how many people in the United States, you know, our friends and partners in Florida are kind of viewed as the citrus capital. Well, they're the juice capital of the United States. And California is home to 90% of the fresh citrus, oranges, mandarins, lemons, grapefruit, and a little bit of limes, and some varieties in between. But we're the home to 90% of the U.S. domestic fresh citrus industry. And you'd be amazed at how many legislatures don't know that. And their eyes light up, you know, a little bit, because they all love citrus, especially people from Southern California, where it's in their backyards. It's part of their culture. And so people just really don't know. And so you just have to educate them, let them know that the industry's here, how important it is, not just to the state of California, but the rural communities that surround our citrus groves, and that we're a valid part of the economy. And, you know, we have struggles from our pest and disease programs to pesticide issues to labor, trade, water, flooding, not enough water, too much water. All those issues came up, but overarching was sort of the cost of production, right? So just ensuring that California citrus growers can stay in business, that the market will, you know, respond to the high cost of production here in California, and keep our sector of the citrus economy thriving. So that's the big picture, but I would say just generally it's relationship building. I think a lot of times, you know, growers get frustrated with everything that's coming down from Sacramento or Washington, D.C. And you just be amazed at how much people just really don't know. And if you just extend an olive branch to have a conversation, you know, 9 times out of 10, you're gonna get a better outcome than you would have otherwise.
It's also important to continue fostering relationships with government officials that have cemented themselves as allies of the citrus industry. One of those allies is California Lieutenant Governor Eleni Kunalakis, who CCM was fortunate enough to secure a high-level meeting with, as well as another meeting with Governor Newsom's Chief of Staff Dana Williamson. Creamer explained just how important it was to lay out the citrus industry's wants and needs in these two meetings.
Our growers grow here in California, and we have to work with the people who are there. And so, you know, we're not going to get everything that we want. We know that in these meetings. But having the conversation is the first start. And so, you know, it's just incredibly important to develop those relationships with the people who are making decisions that impact our operations. And so, and the governor's chief of staff is somebody that at that point in time we hadn't met with. We had met with the prior chief of staff, who's now departed. And so it's an opportunity for us to introduce the industry and talk about areas where we've got shared values, and one of those is in water, and trying to find some way to capture the water when it's there in the wet years, to be able to utilize it in the dry years, because we can't do anything without water and our pest and disease issues. And so just keeping those open lines of communication with, you know, the governor's office. You know, there's a lot of people in there making a lot of very critical decisions. They're pulled in very different directions a lot of times. And so we have appreciation for the number of issues that they have on their plate, and just appreciate that, you know, the governor's office was willing to meet with us and talk about our issues in areas that we can work together. In particular with Ambassador Kunalakis, obviously she's the Lieutenant Governor of California. She serves as the governor when the governor is out of the state. She's somebody who has a business background, and somebody who has just recently announced that she is running to be the next governor of California. And we think she's got a pretty good shot of making that a reality. And so we're just doing everything we can to establish that relationship early and often. And so she understands where we're coming from, and we understand where she's coming from, and we can figure out ways to work together to, in the end, you know, better citrus growing opportunities, and also just enhancing the environment here in California.
Creamer reiterated the importance of Citrus Mutual continuing to have the opportunity to speak annually to government officials and giving a voice to the citrus industry.
California's a big state with a lot of diverse interests, and the voting population is not in the rural areas. It's in the urban areas, and that's where the decisions are being made. And it's our job as an agriculture industry to do everything we can to insert ourselves into that conversation and be as effective as we possibly can within that environment. And so while I'm not going to tell you that we can solve every problem and fix things, I equally dislike it when people tell you, they throw up their hands and say, you know what, we're not going to get anything done. Might as well not even try. I hate that kind of attitude. And I think it does persist in a lot of sectors of the business community. And I do know for a fact there are opportunities to get things done. I mean, look at what we've been able to do with our pest and disease funding, getting general fund dollars, both from the federal and state government. Look at some of the things that we were able to do with neonicotinoids and protecting that for citrus growers. So there are a lot of things maybe chipping around the edges that, you know, when you add them all up, they mean something, right? It doesn't solve everything. It doesn't mean you get all the water you need and, you know, every tool you possibly need and government gets out of your way completely. But, you know, really, if we're not there every day working the issues as best as we possibly can, I can guarantee you the outcomes will be worse than what they would have been otherwise. And so it's just our job to keep at it and be realistic about what we can do and chip away as much as we possibly can. And I think when you take that kind of approach, you have a much greater odds of success here in California.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
This segment was sponsored by Polymer Ag, makers of Anti-Stress 550, the climate stress solution. Find out more at polymerag.com.
USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service will end data collection for the 2022 Census of Agriculture tomorrow. Federal law requires everyone who has received the Ag Census to complete and return it. Recipients can respond online at agcounts.usa.gov or by mail. NAS Administrator Hubert Hamer says not being represented in these widely used data means risking being underserved. USDA NAS is reminding Ag Census recipients that if they produced and sold $1,000 or more of agricultural product in 2022, or normally would have produced and sold that much, they meet USDA's definition of a farm. However, landowners who lease land to producers, those solely involved in conservation programs, and even those who may not have farmed in 2022 are still required to respond. USDA will release the results of the survey in 2024. Congress has voted to overturn a new Biden administration rule setting tougher emission standards for heavy-duty trucks that would affect the cost of trucks for farmers and other industries. The House voted 221 to 203 recently to rescind the rule following a 50 to 49 vote in the Senate last month. Following a 50 to 49 vote in the Senate last month, the bill heads to President Joe Biden's desk, but the White House has stated the president will veto the bill. The Environmental Protection Agency in late December announced tighter rules on smog emissions from trucks that are as much as 80% higher than current rules. The rules are set to start on 2027 models and would affect most heavy-duty vehicles from three-quarter-ton pickups to semi-trucks. Congress pushed back on the standards with Republicans united against the rule and just enough Democrats in each chamber siding with the GOP to back the bill. Senator Deb Fischer, a Republican from Nebraska, cited that the rule would raise the cost of larger pickups by more than $2,500 and increase the price of semi-trucks by at least $8,300. In releasing the rule, EPA stated the higher standards would lower nitrous oxide emissions by as much as 48% by the year 2045, lower benzene emissions by 28%, and reduce carbon monoxide by 18%. EPA cited the higher standards would also reduce cases of childhood asthma. A veto by the president would require two-thirds votes in both chambers for the legislation to override the rule. The Natural Resources Conservation Service and Farm Service Agency heads face tough questions on funding alternative fuels and equity at a recent House Ag Conservation Subcommittee hearing. Ag Chair Glenn G.T. Thompson challenged the NRCS and FSA heads on slow use of Inflation Reduction Act funds for conservation contracts that he argued could be better spent in the Farm Bill.
Some of the funding is unrealistic and would be better used by bringing it into the baseline and spread out over a more realistic time frame. I also think we must remove the climate restrictions and let the locally led model continue without limitation.
But NRCS Chief Terry Cosby countered.
The influx of IRA dollars just help us. Last year, we were only able to fund 1 in 3 contracts through EQIP. Mm-hmm. And so it's given us a huge shot in the arm. Our staff right now is processing about 29 contracts per hour.
For Southern Illinois GOP Congresswoman and farmer Mary Miller, the concern was solar panels versus farmland.
This is prime farm ground. We're seeing tens of thousands of acres in Illinois being taken out of production and whatever you want to call it. It's not really farming. Solar panels are covering that land.
Miller questioned how the money is being spent when it comes to politics or actually helping farmers. FSA's Zach Duchenow responded.
Do you think the USDA's time and money would be better spent promoting policies that help farmers, instead of playing political games with an equity commission?
It's a really good question.
Yes.
We did not ever stop developing policies that work for farmers.
Duchenow countered that farmers of different types and backgrounds across the country want the same opportunities at FSA that Illinois producers are calling for. Congress voted to overturn a new Biden administration rule setting tougher emission standards for heavy-duty trucks that would affect the cost of trucks for farmers and other industries. Using the Congressional Review Act, the House voted 221-203 to rescind the rule following a 50-49 vote in the Senate last month. The bill heads to President Joe Biden's desk, but the White House has stated the president will veto the bill. EPA in late December announced tighter rules on smog emissions from trucks that are as much as 80% higher than current rules. The rules are set to start on 2027 models and would affect most heavy-duty vehicles from F-250 pickups to semi-trucks. USDA's Farm Service Agency is having trouble recruiting and retaining employees at local county offices, and there are several possible reasons why. USDA Ag News reporter Gary Crawford.
The USDA's Farm Service Agency is dealing with a shortage of workers, especially in county offices. The head of that agency, Zach Duchenow, talked about the problem at a House Ag subcommittee hearing this week as to why FSA is having trouble recruiting new workers. Some say the pay is one problem. Young workers get hired, trained, for example, as loan officers, and then leave for private sector jobs with higher pay. But Zach Duchenow says there may be another factor at work here besides money.
I think there is a stigma in this country about the reality of federal service, and I think too often people are persecuted for engaging in federal service and painted as part of a bureaucracy.
And he told lawmakers,
instead, we should look at these folks as the forefront of delivery of essential programs and services to our rural communities to give them the lifeblood they need to have economic opportunity.
He said USDA workers often don't get the praise and respect they deserve. Gary Crawford for the U.S. Department of Agriculture.
U.S. consumers' eating patterns different from federal recommendations for many food categories, and where food is obtained plays a role. Researchers from USDA's Economic Research Service examined diet patterns based on density, amounts of food consumed per 1,000 calories, using the latest available national food consumption data. They compared the average consumption densities of 17 food categories with what would be needed to match the dietary guidelines for Americans' recommendations, assuming a 2,000-calorie intake. Average total consumption densities for 11 food categories fell more than 20% outside of recommended levels, with whole grains more than 70% below the recommended amount. Refined grains, on the other hand, had a consumption density of more than 85% above the recommended level. Densities of 6 food categories were within 20% of the recommended range. Generally, food purchased at grocery stores, supermarkets, and similar retailers for home preparation had consumption densities more in line with dietary recommendations than food obtained from commercial away-from-home sources.
Don't miss your opportunity to attend the only event of its kind taking place this summer. Join us on June 21st, 2023 in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event. The Crop Consultant Connect event will bring you and many of your independent crop consultant peers together. You'll also get access to virtual CE hours as an exclusive thank you for attending this event. Your registration includes breakfast, lunch, coffee, snacks, as well as a wealth of information you're able to glean from this experience. Please visit progressivecrop.com for more information. Join us on June 21st in Modesto, California for the Crop Consultant Connect event.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing team, thank you for listening.